We are reading this morning from the third canto, chapter 23. Please all come a little closer. You are translating, Krishna Sandra?
No.
Translation. Working sanely and diligently, she pleased her very powerful husband, giving up all lust, pride, envy, greed, sinful activities, and vanity. Purport. Here are some of the qualities of a great husband's great wife. Kardama Muni is great by spiritual qualification. Such a husband is called Teji Jangsang, most powerful. Although a wife may be equal to her husband in advancement in spiritual consciousness, she should not be vainly proud. Sometimes it happens that the wife comes from a very rich family, as did Devahuti, the daughter of Emperor Swayambhuva Manu. She could have been very proud of her parentage, but that is forbidden. The wife should not be proud of her parental position. She must always be submissive to the husband and must give up all vanity. As soon as the wife becomes proud of her parentage, her pride ceases. Great misunderstanding between the husband and wife, and their nuptial life is ruined. Devahuti was very careful about that, and therefore it is said here that she gave up pride completely. Devahuti was not unfaithful. The most sinful activity for a wife is to accept another husband or another lover. Chanakya Pandit has described four kinds of enemies at home. If the father is in debt, he is considered to be an enemy. If the mother has selected another husband in the presence of her grown-up children, she is considered to be an enemy. If a wife does not live well with her husband but deals very roughly, then she is an enemy. And if a son is a fool, he is also an enemy. In family life, father, mother, wife, and children are assets. But if the wife or mother accepts another husband in the presence of her husband or son, then according to Vedic civilization, she is considered an enemy. A chaste and faithful woman must not practice adultery. That is a greatly sinful act. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Paskachyade Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Vrinda. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
We have here a verse which seemingly describes the relationship between husband and wife. And many points are given in the purport which describe how this relationship can work in an ideal way. I wish to explain this verse or talk on this verse taking the points of the purport but explaining them on another level. In the Vivaha Yagya or the marriage ceremony, there is another level altogether, and that is that it is not, let me say, it is making sambandha or a relationship with Lord Krishna. In other words, it's not just the coming together of two human beings in a sacred marriage vows, but in a deeper sense, it is coming together of the law of the Jivatma and the Lord. At least a spiritual minded person can see a marriage like this. There are always different levels, and it depends on one's adhika or one's perception how he will interpret that level. I want to give you a very simple example from our last pilgrimage. When we had reached a very important pass of poverty while doing the circumambulation of Mount Kailash, I was having a chapati with me, and I intended to eat the chapati because I was a little hungry. But then on the Dramala, this is the pass, we saw so many birds and dogs, and they were hungry as well. So we were distributing a little of the chapatis to give to every living creature, because we know that Mother Parvati is very merciful towards the living entities, and we should at least symbolically also be a little kind and merciful. So at that time there was also one pilgrim there of Tibetan origins, and he also put his hand forward. There was a small chapati, this much, and already so much was gone for other hungry living entities, so he gave that to the pilgrim. And what did the pilgrim do? It was the major portion of what was left of the chapati. He took the took half the chapati, no, he put it, took the his part of the chapati, just started to throw it in the air. I was thinking, oh no, I'm also so hungry, here goes this my chapati to the air. Never give an uncultured person your chapati. This was my realization. But then I noticed how he was speaking prayers, and in his understanding he was feeding the different presiding gods of that saintly pass. On one level, he was throwing things in the air, and here went my chapati. On another level, he fed the different presiding gods according to his religious understanding. So, I want to say that many things have different levels, and we need to be very sensitive and careful to understand these different levels and go and work on the different level according to our adhikar. For instance, here it is just it appears to be only a description between husband and wife, how they should interact. But naturally, you wouldn't, most of you are brahmacharis or grihastas with broken marriages or not so well situated in the grihastha ashram. So I will not, or just contemplating to become grihastha. So it would not be maybe so relevant if I, who also cannot talk much about the grihastha ashram because I don't have any solid experience from personal realization, but try to interpret this verse on this level. So let us go on the other level. According to spiritual understanding, there's only one male, one Purusha, and everyone else is Prakriti. You think you are male, you think you are brahmacharis and sannyasis and husbands, but according to the spiritual understanding, this is not correct. You think you have many relationships as husbands or renunciants who have very distant or non-existent relationship to women. But on the spiritual level, there's only one relationship. The relationship to Lord Krishna. We hear that there are, on the material level, five different types of relationship. The relationship of husband to wife and wife to husband, the relationship of brother to brother, the relationship of friend to friend, the five relationships, and the relationship of master to servant and servant to master, and finally itara sambandha, other relationships. These are is described in our spiritual tradition. But spiritually, there is only one relationship, that's the relationship of the soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yes, the soul finds itself in these spiritual relationships. One can be a servant of Lord Krishna, one can be a friend of Lord Krishna, and so on and so forth. But very often the conditioned soul has forgotten about this one relationship and tries to be happy in so many other relationships in the material world. What is happening if someone becomes very, very, let me say, thoughtful about this one relationship, the relationship to the Supreme Lord? Most probably what is happening is, what is always happening is, after some time he will be able to see the Lord, or understand at first that the Lord is everywhere, and as a result he will lose his anxiety. Fear of Haya comes when we think that we are separate from the Lord, and that others are also separate from the Lord. The moment we are becoming aware of our relationship to Krishna, we lose this fear. There is a constant fear complex, Haya, so to say, in our genetic codes. This fear complex is inbuilt into the material consciousness. This fear is all-pervading. It is present everywhere. It is written in the faces of the conditioned soul. So when we are doing Harinam, And we passed the houses today of many of the residents. You could see in their faces a type of not feeling well. Have you also noticed that today I was seeing many faces? They were quite, let me say, unhappy or disturbed, because yes, they came out of their houses, which are partially destroyed from the super cyclone, and that fear is still there. It is ticking there. Or we always have the fear of losing our existence, because there is this unsolved dilemma of our death, which is waiting for us. According to psychology, this is the source of all other smaller fears. Gopal Kripa, you're young and strong and intelligent and from Switzerland, but you have to die. And this is there as a suppressed, or let me say, put aside fact, which is constantly nagging us. This is, if I would put away the Bhagavatam and maybe sit on the put the Bhagavatam somewhere where I don't see it, it's still there. And as a devotee, I would say, oh, you have put the Bhagavatam behind you, or maybe you have put it on your same seat level, and this would give me some disturbance all the time, because I know it's not right. So in the same way, if the conditioned soul has put away the fact of death, but he knows from previous experience, oh, Hare Krishna, what is your intention this morning? This is the fifth garland already. if the conditioned soul knows it just does not work, to put death away, it just does not work. It continues to tick in the subconsciousness. And one day you will lose everything, Gopal Kripa. So it's always there. And it is always a problem for the conditioned soul. Only if the conditioned soul establishes his relationship to Krishna can this fear go. Vayam dvitiniya niveshata sasyat. I'm these days a little exhausted and my memory does not work, so I will not put so much. I will not try to quote so many shlokas, which I might not remember correctly. But this verse is a very good verse. It says, "Fear is there as long as you see separation from Krishna. It must be there." My dear gentlemen, this is a very important point. Fear, bhaya, must be there as long as you do not see the relationship with Krishna. That fear, which is constantly there in our psychology, can only go if we see ourselves in relationship to Krishna. A very good example which has been given in the scripture is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is a good example for seeing Krishna everywhere. Yomang Pashyanti Sarvasya, the Gita says, one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, he is never lost to me and I am never lost to him. Prahlad Maharaj, you must be knowing, Prahlad Maharaj, you must be knowing, was constantly persecuted, we can say, by his demoniac Asuric father Hiranyakashipu. A little while ago we went to Ahobilam and we saw one mountain from which Hiranyakashipu had Prahlad Maharaj thrown down in the abyss. We have seen with our eyes. It is a high mountain and it goes very steep down, and he actually was so cruel. He hated his saintly son so much that he had him carried to the edge of the mountain and had his servants throw him down just on the but Prahlad Maharaj was always remembering Krishna. He is the example of Smaranam in our glorious Vaishnava tradition. Just like other devotees, they served Krishna, glorified Krishna, worshipped his lotus feet, surrendered everything to the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj is known as remembering Lord Krishna. He was always praying. He was always seeing the Lord everywhere. It is very interesting to note, just down, you know, where Prahlad Maharaj would have hit the ground and would have been killed, just at this spot is a temple of Krodha, Varaha, Nishingha. It's the first time in this Leela that the Lord appeared to Prahlad Maharaj, who remembered him everywhere. At this time, from underneath the ground, the Lord came, taking a form of the body of Nrisimhadev and the head of Varahadev. He came up, and when Prahlad Maharaj was coming down, the Lord caught him and hold him. My dear devotees, there is a very nice temple which one day we must all see. We will sit in that cave, the temple, and then the cave where the deity is, and we will sing with happiness Jai Nishinha, Jai Krodha Varaha Nishinha. There. Anyways, this makes a point. For one who always sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost, and I am to him and he is never lost to me. What does this mean, to see Krishna everywhere? It means that you remember Krishna in all situations, and when you do so, you will see that the Lord will naturally respond and protect you. Your fear will go away. Once our exalted revered spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, he was giving a lecture to a professor Kotovsky in Russia, who was advocating a political system in order to give safety to the conditions to the person, saying we should follow the system and then we will be taken care of. There is no need to fear material existence. Srila Prabhupada made the point, no, only if you have your relationship to Krishna intact will your fear stop. And he gave the example which most of us are very familiar with, the example of a little child. The child will cry and then the uncle will come and say, but the child, if it has a serious problem, will continue to cry. Then the sister comes of the mother and tries to pacify the child. It does not work. Then other people come from the neighborhood. Does not work. Only one particular person comes, that is the mother of the child, and takes the child on the left, will the crying of the child stops. Do we have experience of this? Your child, maybe? Your child, maybe? Yes. Only if the mother comes does the crying stop. So in the same way, our crying, our fear, in other words, of difficulties in this world, will only stop if we develop this one relationship for Krishna. Our movement has therefore been called the movement for Krishna consciousness. But this is a very difficult point for many devotees. In our car, we have a philosophical car where we raise different philosophical questions. And one devotee was saying, when I chant, I want to just meditate about the holy name, and I want to just think. And this morning I was thinking, why the devotee wants to just think of Krishna and meditate? And I think it is a very reasonable. There is a very good reason behind it. Very often, our devotees who are in this movement for Krishna consciousness are unfortunately not Krishna conscious. Very often our kirtans are just so loud, instrumentally loud, and there is no pleasure when the holy name is chanted. You can see the devotees are bored and they look, hopefully this torture is soon over, and I can sit down in some peace is there. Very often the experience of our devotees is we do things, but there is no consciousness. There is no Krishna consciousness while we do the things, and therefore our souls are not sufficiently nourished. I think we all know this. Developing this one relationship with Krishna is very, very, very important. Hare Krishna. My heart becomes happy to just see you with your beautiful tilak on the forehead. Please tell them.
Maharaj Kuntunti, she tankar hudai vado ananda mukhari tahala ita vada apanko pari sundar tilako dharan kari kashra.
When, on this point, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that some of his pupils had no tilak on, he said, "Your head looks like a cremation ground. Go home, put tilak on."
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jetebele dekhanti kichi byakti tankar kapala tilak nahi, se kohanti je tilak bihina kapala smasana sadrusha, jao shighra tilak lagai asi.
So you are making us very happy by coming with such a wonderful tilak. Thank you very much.
Dhanyavaad.
So let us therefore now study a little bit how we can put Krishna into our spiritual practices. What means, for instance, to put Krishna in the kirtan? Hare Krishna. What means to put Krishna in the japa? What does it mean for a devotee to put Krishna in his life? These three questions I would like to try to answer. If you want to put Krishna in your chanting japa, you need to know that you must give Krishna one gift. It is your full attention. In the Bhagavatam it is said, therefore, with single-minded concentration, the devotee should chant my name the devotee should hear about me. When you do kirtan, you must be very careful. When you do japa, you must be very careful that you really enter the chanting of the holy name, and that you are not left with only some clanging of metal and vibrating of leather clay. You must learn to give your attention to Krishna while you do this. When you do a service during the day, there is a very important meditation which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives in one commentary to the Bhagavatam. You must think, oh my dear Lord, I have brought this thing for you. Please accept. Prabhupada used, he gave one lecture about offering food to Krishna. And he said, my dear Lord, I have brought the thing for you. Please accept. And Prabhupada was crying. This is how you can invite Krishna into your desert-like material life. You must give your attention when you do japa, and you must do your service in a conscious way. My dear Lord, I'm so insignificant. I have brought this other insignificant thing for you. Please accept. Hare Krishna. This is the meaning of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. My dear devotees, there is this developing this one relationship to Krishna. It's an ongoing challenge which one must think about every day in his life. This sambandha, it is not just made when we come to a movement and join a movement and do the prescribed activities. The sambandha is something we must think about every day in every of our spiritual practices. Only then are we Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. Here it is very nicely said that in order to make the relationship between the Prakriti and the Purusha, the female and the male, or as we are describing in our lecture, the living entity and the Lord, one must give up lust, kaman, and dambha, or pride. There is one very important instruction in one Upanishad called the Kena Upanishad. Kena means by which or through which. Once the demigods, the Kena Upanishad explains to us, met on a river, on a mountain to find out who is the supreme. While they were discussing thus, they saw on another mountain range, just opposite, a being full of light. So they sent one particular demigod there. His name was Vayu, most probably. Vayu went first or Agni went first? Vayu, yes. Vayu came before this luminous being and said, may I ask you for your identity? Who are you? Now in cultural circles, the less important person has to first give his introduction. Then only he may ask for the introduction of the superior person. So the person said, I don't think it is right that you ask me first. You please first explain who you are. Vayu said, I am the wind god Vayu. Oh, what can you do? Give some further explanation. I can move everything in the universe. You must be knowing Vayu moves also the planets. There's some description. It's given like this. He can pick up everything, and he has just shown it in Gadaigiri, where he picked up mud houses and threw them in the air like a child will put some dust in it and throw it in the air. So you can pick up everything and throw it in the air as a being? Don't believe it. And he took one little straw, threw it before Vayu, said, "Please move this." Vayu thought, "This is a very fair challenge," and he just wanted to make, "I can't do it." He wanted to just make like this. Like this. He tried. But the straw was not moving. Then he took more strength. It was not moving. Then he took more strength. And finally he threw himself with all his strength to move this insignificant straw. But it did not move. Haribol. "Oh," said the being, "I don't think you are qualified to understand me. Please go. If you can't even move a straw, please go." Then the Vayu went back to the demigods and said, "I can't understand. In the presence of this being, all my strength was going." And he again, and so they chose Agni to find out who this being was. And the same thing repeated itself. Agni was asked for his identification when he very proudly, or let me say very safely, very certainly said, I am can burn everything in the universe. The being produced again a piece of straw and said, "Please burn this straw." And again Agni tried with all his strength fine in the end to burn it, but it was not at all successful. He had to return without being able to give the identification. And then Indra came, and Indra tried to find out, but when he was coming, that being had sent Uma, the most beautiful lady of Parvati, and the Parvati instructed Indra, "You can't understand the being who was there. You must know it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose power all of you demigods work." So I find this instruction very important here. If you wish to develop your relationship with Krishna, you must meditate that everything you do is happening by the power of Krishna. When you move, it is by the kind power of Krishna. When you are singing, it is by the mercy of Krishna that you sing. When you cook, like our Gopa Kripa, I hear, is a very good cook by now, it is by the power of Krishna that you have the intelligence to choose the right spices, that if you throw them in the pot, they are breaking and giving their fragrance to the preparation. Every day, let us meditate. When Madhavananda Prabhu took us on parikram, sometimes because we are from an unfortunate country called the Western world, we feel very weak due to the humidity of the air and so on. And one time, one morning, was particularly weak. It was in Jajpur, and we wanted to do the Harinam and so on. That time I was praying to the Lord, "Please, my dear Lord, give me today the strength so that I can move this weak body to go on parikram." And at that time it was extremely clear to us that we can only move by the Lord, its power. But often the Lord gives, there's so much dumbha in the heart, so much pride, that we forget that whatever we do in the service of Guru and Krishna is by the power of the Lord. So I want to summarize. I do not want to take more of your time this morning. I want to just summarize. Let us think about our relationship with Krishna. Let us not think, oh, I'm a member of this great movement, my relationship with Krishna is naturally assured. No, we should, when we chant, think about affectionately about the meaning of the name. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service and give our full attention. When we do service to Lord Krishna, we should understand, my dear Lord, I brought this insignificant thing to you, please accept. And finally, we should understand that whatever we do, chanting or service, is only possible by the kind strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you live your life in this mood, you will be free of fear and also of sleepiness. Hare Krishna. A final word. I'm very, very glad to be here. Sitting in the manifestation of a great devotee's bhakti. This temple is definitely a manifestation of the bhakti, of the devotion of His Holiness Sripad Gaur Govinda Maharaj to His beloved deity Gopal Jui. It is so obvious. It is so obvious that we are sitting in walls of devotion. These are not stone walls. These are walls of devotion. Not a stone floor, it is a floor of devotion. Please explain to our Reverend.
Maharaj kuchanti je ye sthan bada pavitra hichi sthan bhakti r sthan amaro gurudev sima gauravanda swami maharaj ko jogu ye sthan bhakti sthan hichi jodio ame eti basichu kantho dekhuchu pathar tiyari hichi ba chatana pathar tiyari hichi କିନ୍ତୁ ମହାରାଜ କହୁଛନ୍ତି ଏସବୁ ଭକ୍ତିରେ ତିଆରି ଏଇଟା ଭକ୍ତିର ସ୍ଥାନ ଭକ୍ତିର ପୀଠ
ୟେସ୍ ହି ୱାଣ୍ଟେଡ୍ ଟୁ ଗ୍ଲୋରିଫାଇ ଗୋପାଳ ଜୁଇ ଆଣ୍ଡ ଦିସ୍ ଇଜ୍ ଅ ମେନିଫେଷ୍ଟେସନ୍ ଅଫ୍ ଦିସ୍ ଡିଜାୟାର ଦିସ୍ ଇଜ୍ ଅ ଭେରି ଭେରି ଇମ୍ପୋର୍ଟାଣ୍ଟ ବଟ୍ ଇଫ୍ ୟୁ ଇଫ୍ ସମ୍ ହାଉ ୱି ମ୍ୟାନେଜ୍ ଟୁ ଟେକ୍ ଗୋପାଳ ଜୁଇ ଆଉଟ୍ ଅଫ୍ ଆୱାର କନ୍ସିୟସ୍ନେସ୍ ୱେନ୍ ୱି ରିଜାଇଡ୍ ହିୟର୍ ୱି ୱିଲ୍ ଥିଙ୍କ୍ ଇଟ୍ସ ଷ୍ଟୋନ୍ ଏମ୍ପ୍ଟି And we also will feel bhaya in our heart, fear, what will happen with me, what is the future, will I be happy in this life, on this countryside, and so on. Very important point. Without this thinking of our relationship to Krishna, like the great devotees teach us, everything can become empty, everything, even a the most full situation, the most wonderful situation. It's so important. We are learning this from the great devotees. Yoman Pashanti Savasya, one who sees me everywhere, he will never be lost, and I will be never lost to him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Gaur Govinda Maharaj ki jai. श्री श्री राधा गोपाल जी की जय गो प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल हरि कृष्ण थैंक यू वेरी मच
जय श्री वासुकी नंदन स्वामी महाराज की
जय
हरि कृष्ण
डू यू विश टू प्लेस एनी क्वेश्चन बिफोर द ब्रेकफास्ट विल कम इनटू आवर प्रेजेंस It is clear. The subject matter is clear. We just have to work on us.
Madhava, I can say a little thing, Maharaj.
Yes, Madhava.
I mentioned something. It's not so much a question, but I just, again, I don't know if you're feeling, the devotees are so happy, I think, to see you come here, because they know that you're having some appreciation for Guru Maharaj. And also, as I told you elsewhere, I think we're all knowing that the Guru Maharaj, who's liking you, and that Guru Maharaj is always wanting devotees to come and visit. And we're very confident that the Guru Maharaj wants you to be taken care of very nicely and shown everything very nicely.
That's the reason why I have five guys.
The devotees are so happy that you're coming, and they're hoping very much you'll come again and speak some nice Hare Katha again and again and do some nice kirtan.
Yeah. Thank you very much. This is all. When you grow older in your Krishna consciousness, you really begin to understand you have no good qualification. Everything which happens is only the mercy, this came out by the movement, by the mercy of Lord Krishna, you're moving. This is really, I know who I am, very, very fallen, very lean, I know. Somehow I'm pulled by mercy here and there. Yes, he said, Gogovinda Maharaj was saying to us in Heidelberg that he wishes devotees from the West to come and be in Orissa. He told us. So, I guess he is knowing the impact of the white elephant. Prabhupada used to also work with this impact of people. Need to explain so many things. They immediately see, oh, this process really works. This Krishna consciousness really works. He is a walking proof. I was asking in Kathmandu how tourism became the biggest religion of Kathmandu. It is there were previously Buddhism and Hinduism, but now it's tourism. and by this tourism, people have become totally influenced. Within 50 years of tourism, a lot of the ancient Nepali culture has left Nepal, because the younger generations all feel more inclined to follow the Western ways, which is brought by the tourists. And my very learned interpreter said, see, first you hear about it, the Western world, or about anything, then you see it, and then you want to experience it and feel it. This is how the psychology works. When you first hear about something, you may not fully be interested to, you may not fully do something. You may not fully believe it, but when you see it, oh, you want to experience it. This is how Prabhupada spread also Krishna consciousness. He talked about it, but then the living example was very, very, very important, so that people develop the feeling to experience it. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it said that Dharma in Kali Yuga is in the hands of the Vaishnavas, because they are living examples of Dharma, of Sanatana Dharma. Without that living example, the Dharma is not existing. And because you can see it, and then you wish to also experience it. So that's, I think, why Gogovinda Maharaj wanted to Westerners to come and be a proper Vaishnava. Thing that then the people just see. They don't only hear that Krishna consciousness is universal. They see a living proof. Therefore, it is very good. I remember when I first came to go to of Bhuvaneshwara, then we had a program in this Nampali, this highway number 5 or whatever it
Nampali.
Is. Yes. And we had only a Pandal program, and there was wilderness around, I still remember. And then Gogovinda Maharaj had asked me to speak something, but he said about the Western world. So we were explaining a little our family background and you know, how many lanes are on the street, nothing spiritual as such, because people were in this way seeing, oh, he is a Paka Westerner, so, who is trying to become a Vaishnava at work. Anyways, I'm talking too much. The lecture has ended already. Excuse me, please. Yeah. Yeah. When your Guru Maharaj had left, we met at Radhakund already once. When your Guru Maharaj had left, he appeared to to many devotees in dreams. I think many have said, because at that moment, it's the great soul appear, because one thinks also of them. And I had one around this time, deep spiritual question which was moving me, and I could not really get a very precise answer on this. And at that time, I was in the West. I listened to tapes of Gogovinda Maharaj, and then one night I had a very distinct dream that he was in Vrindavan, and in this dream he assured me everything is all right, I'm doing my bhajan, because we were all very sad, like you know, his godbrothers who knew him a little bit, who had listened to tapes, they said, oh, he had left, and I received a few letters of disciples who described how he left and who also described the external circumstances, which were not always, the departure was very auspicious, but some of the external circumstances were not always 100% encouraging. So we were all a little, and then he came in the dream and assured, everything is all right with me, I'm very happy, I'm doing bhajan. And then he gave that answer to my question, which I'm shy to repeat in public, because it is private, and I do certain things must be kept in that private area, and so on. But yes, a great soul is not gone. He's not gone. Sometimes he proves it to his sympathizers and so on, and to disciples by appearing in the dream. I think you all must know much better, because your relationship is close. I also don't want to say we are listening to Gogovinda Maharaj's tapes and we are reading his books with great relish, and we had a wonderful meeting, but we did not meet so often as I wished to have met. There were a few jewels which are in my recollection, and I can tell you more later, but there was one in number. How he asked me to speak about my Western background. Maharaj, this is really interesting for people and so forth. No, you must understand, Prabhupada wanted to impress on the Indians that Yes, the westernness can also come by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. It serves a very, then of course I understand of whatever, the sort of thing. Good. Thank you very, very much. And your five garlands are just totally overwhelming. They are, I take them that they are the expression of Gaur Govinda Maharaj's desire. He always was very, very kind to his god brothers, and he hit himself always as if only when he would give a lecture you would understand his personality. Otherwise, when he would get away from the, he was so humble. You would, if you wouldn't know him, you would be deceived. You would be cheated. But in the lecture, that full Krishna Katha came. Thank you all very much, and please wish us well for our ongoing parikrama. We have the most wonderful guide in Mother Vananda Prabhu, who takes care so nicely with us, and we are coming to all the places here, and we are simply overwhelmed with different forms of prasad. This Mahaprasad, ooh, so good. We felt a little sad after we could not enter into the Balaram in Kendabad. A little sad, but humbled. It was a healthy feeling also. We had to pay our obeisances before, and just 20 centimeters, someone had made a human pile, and it is very humbling. But then we were rewarded by this wonderful taste of Mahaprasad. Ooh, and all our sadness was going away because the Lord is fully present in that Mahaprasad. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Srimad Gaur Govinda Maharaja ki jai. Shri Gopal Jui ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Gaur Govinda Maharaja ki jai.